It's God's book with the voice of the top expert who loves us, addressing us in it. He created the universe from its galaxies down to the smallest elements. He made you and me. And in his kindness keeps us going when everything goes smoothly, but also when we are hit by the hurricanes of life. In his Son, Jesus the Lord, he gives us meaning, an indestructible hope, incomparable, beautiful ways to cope with life and reach that glorious goal he prepared for us. Let me read to you again the passage that I will be preaching on. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. When I last stood in this pulpit 3 months ago, some of you might remember, I preached on Philippians 1, 9 to 11, and we saw how the Apostle Paul, now in a Roman prison, threatened by impending execution, fervently and regularly prayed for the newly converted Christians in Philippi in the eastern part of Greece. He very much wanted the core message of the Bible to determine their lives more and more. In other words, he prayed for their God-given love to grow more and more, for them to have more and more of the kind of love that he, the top expert, wants his children to have. We also saw how, by what means the apostle, God's spokesman, expected this to happen. Above all, by knowing God more and more, understanding him and his dealings more and more, which in your case and mine is brought about as we read or hear the word of God, the Bible, with an appropriate attitude and a genuine willingness to apply it to our lives. Today's Bible passage, Philippians 2, 5 to 11, draws our attention to one indispensable ingredient of that love, presenting us with the supreme model to follow. We are invited to know God the Son more and more, to understand who he is and what in particular he made him do what he did when he came to this earth to save us. We are challenged to let this determine the way we live our lives more and more. There are, I think, 3 points that we could take with us. One, the way Jesus Christ thought and acted is to be our model to follow. Two, He humbled himself, and so should we, following him as our model. 3, as a result of humbling himself, he was exalted. So will we be as those belonging to him. All of this serving to praise the true God in heaven. The way Christ Jesus thought and acted is to be our model to follow. That is the first point, which we find in verse 5. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This first point reminds us of the importance of our thought life, of our mind, our attitude. This is where it needs to start as we strive to see that God-given love and humility grow in our lives. It is not primarily about having certain feelings, but first of all about a particular mindset, to adopt a particular way of thinking about things. As the apostle already emphasized in verse 2, as we heard it last Sunday, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Make the importance of our thought life, our mind, is actually basic as to our life as Christians from beginning to end. This verse that I'm going to quote has been quoted many times here, but I think it's a very important one. Romans 12:2. As the apostle challenges believers to fully commit their lives to the Lord, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our thought life, our mind, our attitude should be modeled on Christ Jesus, the kind of mindset that we see in our Lord and Savior is to become ours more and more. And there was no discrepancy between his mindset and the way he acted. In fact, his mindset made him act the way he did. So as those who belong to him as his followers, let us think and act as Christ Jesus thought and acted, especially in our dealings with one another, at home, at church, and so on. Now, what do we see the Lord Jesus thinking and acting like? This is what we're told in verses 6 to 8. Then verses 9 to 11 telling us about the outcome, what happened as a result. The Apostle Paul, as God's spokesman, spells this out in quite some detail for the benefit of his readers, including you and me, so we grasp it, take it in, and apply it. He himself was completely overwhelmed by it, as he tells us in chapter 3, for instance, where he says in verse 8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So what do we learn here about Christ's way of thinking and acting to be followed as our model? The heart of the matter is he humbled himself. This is clearly the central idea of our paragraph. Verse 8 says that he humbled himself. Jesus' way of thinking and acting was marked by humility. So your and my way of thinking and acting must be marked by humility. That is what the Apostle Paul, as God's spokesman, insists on by means of today's scripture passage. He considered it the key to overcoming the disunity and conflicts in the church at Philippi, indicated in various passages of the letter. And it is also the key to overcoming any disunity and conflicts that you and I may be involved in at home, a church, and so on. Without humility, there is no unity, no harmony. Actually, on many occasions during his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus made it clear that humility was part and parcel of being his disciple. For instance, as we already heard, when the question came up as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, we read that he placed a little child among them and said, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." For the Lord Jesus, true greatness among his followers is closely connected with humility, no doubt. Of course, our Lord's constant insistence on humility stands in stark contrast. All the leading systems of belief, philosophical and religious, of this world, and as sinners, we are naturally allergic to it. Don't know whether you remember those moments when your parents told you to be humble. I remember that, and I was allergic to it. I didn't like it. And many seemed to be so much put off by that they sadly reject Christ's beautiful message. And I praise the Lord that I came to accept it after all. My parents were good examples and pointed me gently to Christ's beautiful message. Now, our Lord did not only insist that others should be humble, humility was also one of his most striking character traits. He humbled himself. The central idea of verses 6 to 8. Now, what exactly was behind this humbling himself? And what exactly did he do as he humbled himself? The first thing we're told is who the Lord Jesus really is. We're told about his true identity, what nature he had and still has, which is as fundamental as it is overwhelming. In verse 6, we learn that he has the same nature as God has. ESV and some of the other translations use the expression form of God, a technical term in Greek philosophy, which to my mind sounds somewhat confusing in English. It is, however, clear that the Apostle Paul intended to say that the Lord Jesus has the same nature as God, that equality with God is part of his identity, as we see in the second part of verse 6. It is important for you and me to understand this, to truly become aware of it, not just to take it in intellectually, but to be really aware of it in our thinking. The Lord Jesus has the same nature as God the Father has. He is God. You may say, "I know all that. I've heard it many times before." Still, I wonder whether it actually determines our thinking. I found it helpful from time to time to sit back and in my mind to look at the universe. And I invite you to do this very thing now. Let's think of the moon, which is now so nicely visible if you go early in the morning, and the sun, which we are blessed with in the last few days, especially. Just imagine how far away these are from us now. But in exactly the right distance to allow us to be alive. Let's look a bit further at the galaxy we are part of, then at the countless further galaxies, at the distances and dimensions involved. And then imagine the mind that invented and created all that. Great as the universe presents itself to us, how much greater must be God who created it and keeps it going. It is this God we're dealing with as we think about the way the Lord Jesus thought and acted, what he did as he humbled himself. Now, what exactly was going on as he did so? As we think about the Lord's equality with God, we would, of course, expect him never to stop making full use of the privileges connected with it. But what happened, contrary to all normal human expectations, we are told, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, which he could have done all the time. Rather, he made himself nothing, or more literally, he emptied himself by taking the very nature of a servant, or even one could translate the nature of a slave, being made in human likeness. We should think carefully about what this means. It doesn't mean that Jesus pretended he wasn't the same as God, though he knew exactly that he was. He did not give up or suppress his identity as God the Son when he became a human being. He didn't stop being who he was. It's important to understand that humility has nothing to do with denying who we really are. As Jesus humbled himself, he did not cling to the special privileges connected with his equality with God. He did not insist on fully retaining all the prerogatives and privileges of his position of being equal to God. Instead, he willingly gave up certain divine prerogatives and privileges. How and what was that like? We have four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then they tell us about it quite clearly. What he continued to have and what he continued to be and what he gave up. It is clear that he continued to be holy, ethically perfect, without sin, living in complete harmony with God the Father as well as with God the Holy Spirit. And he certainly did not stop being absolutely righteous and loving, as for the four Gospels testify, something none of his opponents have ever been able to disprove. But what did he willingly give up as he became a human being? We remember, as God, he could be in all places at the same time. But when he became a human fetus, he willingly gave up the prerogative of omnipresence, accepting spatial and temporal restrictions, and growing up as a child in a carpenter's family, he submitted to the authority of simple human parents, and so willingly gave up restrictions to his being almighty, his divine omnipotence. In his dealings with people, he on many occasions needed to ask questions which suggests that he did not always know everything, and so he willingly accepted restrictions to the divine prerogative of omniscience. As God, he has life in himself and draws his unending energy from himself. But living as a mortal human being, he willingly accepted restrictions to this divine prerogative. A-C-T, I find it difficult to pronounce. A-C-T, I think is the right word that the theologians use for that, coming from the Latin. He got tired. He was hungry. He suffered. And most impressively, he died. So he had accepted restrictions to this important prerogative. He willingly exchanged the highest position for the lowest. He kept on being the highest king, but he willingly became a slave. He gave up his divine glory, prerogatives and privileges, considering the benefits of us sinners more important. He did it to serve us, to give his life as a ransom for many and to serve us. Now, he humbled himself, and so should we, following him as our model. And that is the mindset we are called to take as our model. He did humble himself because he considered our well-being more important. So we are called to think and act in the same way in our dealings with others, at home, at church, at our workplace, and so on, being truly humble. This doesn't mean we deny who we are or call bad the good things that God has put into our lives. But adopting the mindset of our Lord out of gratitude for the way he thought and acted for your well-being and mine, we will not consider the status we have something to be used to our own advantage. For the benefit of those we are dealing with, our spouse, children, those we work with or under, we will not cling to the privileges we may have. You and I will accept restrictions to being honored and respected as the one who is in the right, who is entitled to certain things. We will be determined to say goodbye, as Rodrigo explained it last Sunday so well, to any kind of selfish ambition and vain conceit. We will value others above ourselves, not merely looking to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. In humility, we will again and again make up our mind to be patient. Oh, how often I've made up my mind to be patient. Understanding, forgiving, and caring as we think of our model, of the immense magnitude of our Lord's humility. Patience, understanding, forgiveness, and care. Our Lord in humility gave up his divine glory and prerogatives and privileges and became a human being, having in mind your well-being and mine. Verse 8 spells out the goal of him doing so. In fact, it shows us the lowest depth that his humbling himself led to, what it was all about as the highest king became a slave to service. We read, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. When he became a human being, he humbled himself. Most particularly, he obeyed his Father in every respect, not shrinking back from taking the most horrible steps of his way, but saying, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." He who had no sin, I'm glad that was already quoted earlier by David, wonderful passage, which helps me again and again in my prayer to imagine what the Lord Jesus did for us. He who had no sin, holy, perfect, above any reproach, was willing to be made sin for us. Sort of sin par excellence, that in him we might become the righteousness of God, have complete righteousness. He obeyed his Father even to the extent of being willing to die. He was willing to die most disgracefully on a Roman cross, so that that is what Christ Jesus thought and acted like. Although he has the same nature as God has, he did not insist on fully retaining all the prerogatives of his position of being equal with God. Instead, he willingly gave up divine prerogatives. Specifically, he took the nature, position of a servant, of a slave, and he became a human being. Just think of the dimensions of the universe and the dimensions we see in a human being. When he had become a human being, he humbled himself. Most particularly, he obeyed God, even to the extent of being willing to die. He was even willing to die disgracefully on a cross. This is the way our Lord thought and acted. He humbled himself. In our relationship with one another, we are called to have the same mindset of humility. Of course, I think that's important to add, we cannot and should not try to copy one-to-one his thoughts and actions. That would be impossible. But we should pattern our thoughts and actions on him. And so as we know him more and more, and understand his love to us more and more, rely on what he has done more and more, our love for God and others will grow more and more. As a result, we come to the last bit of our passage. As a result of humbling himself, he was exalted. God the Father was pleased with the way his Son, Jesus Christ, thought and acted. And so we read in verses 9 to 11, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As a result, God raised him to a position which is higher than any other position. That is, God bestowed upon him a rank, a title, which is above every other rank or title. Raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge of the living and the dead, far above every sovereign, president, premier, ruler, dictator, leader, decision maker of the present, the past, and the future. God did this in order that every being in heaven and on earth and under the earth should worship Jesus, and in order that every being should acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. As a result of humbling himself, as himself he was exalted, so will you and I, if we are in him and follow his pattern. How good for those who acknowledge him freely now. How terrible for those who will have to do so under compulsion on Judgment Day. Those who do so now are saved. Peace with God, eternal life. The love of God is poured into their hearts through the Holy Spirit given to them, which enables them to love God and others more and more, to think and act more and more in true humility as they see it in Christ Jesus their Lord. And this is how they attain true greatness as they know him. Ephesians 2:6 came to my mind. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. So our connection with him, let us share his exaltation, we're in him, raised from the dead, raised to the heavenly places. So it's worth sticking to him. Now the final sentence, the primary objective, the overarching objective is God's glory and praise, for his greatness, his love to be made visible, to be admired and praised. So the way Christ Jesus thought and acted is to be our model to follow. He humbled himself, and so should we, following him as our model. As a result of humbling himself, he was exalted. So will we, as those belonging to him. And all of this praising the God of the universe, the Father of our Lord Jesus, our Father through Jesus. Shall we pray? We thank you, our God, for Jesus Christ, the best gift we can imagine. And as Paul somewhere says, in fact, we have everything if we have Christ. And it's worth putting you first. And help each and every one of us to take in the thoughts that your word gave us this morning, to repent of our lack of humility, patience, understanding, care, and to receive forgiveness and to have peace with you in the fullest sense, and to have more and more that peace in our dealings with one another, as the humility of our Lord becomes visible in our lives. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.